Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is, well, you asked, I still don't know which number it is. It's hard because with question and answer, I can figure out
based on the
like 130
episode.
Or something. I can based on what it is. But we started Well, You Asked at a random time. And so I can't
math
is really fucking hard. Yeah. So it's Well, You Asked, insert number. I won't insert the number, but you get it.
Where we give you good or bad advice.
Bad advice by good people, good advice by bad people.
Yeah.
Whatever you
Sometimes
want.
Sometimes it's, I think it's okay advice.
Sometimes it's okay. It's never great. It's never good, but sometimes I think it's okay.
Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. A couple friends are giving you okay advice.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like you're talking, like shooting the shit with your two friends, and they're not the smartest. Like, this isn't the A team.
No.
This is getting advice from C team, D team.
Oh my God. The friend that's willing to listen,
yeah,
but not necessarily
D-team.
Giving the good
team
stuff
D.
back.
Team Dick.
No thanks.
Team Dick and Brie.
All right, well, wherever you're listening to Team Dick and Brie, make sure to follow, subscribe, and give us a 5-star review. Also, head over to our Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. Jesus, dropped my fucking phone. At I Can Explain Podcast, and follow us, please. We just hit 3,000.
I thought you were going to pitch something else, but it was just Apollo. Apollo, please. Follow, please.
Apollo, please. Apollo, please. Us over on Instagram.
It was just Apollo's fleece.
I went to look for the advice questions today because if you don't know, when we do these advice episodes or the Q&As, we get all the questions from our Instagram stories. And I noticed that we have passed 3,000, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And I would like all of you to also leave us a review. Please, God, 5 stars.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, click the link in the bio. There's merch there. We love when you guys tag us wearing our merch. It's literally the cutest fucking thing I've ever seen in my life, and I love it so much. And also, there is a link to our Patreon where we have bonus episodes. If you can't get enough of us ranting about absolutely nothing at all, there's more for you on Patreon. And a huge thank you to our patrons, and a special thank you to Aiden, Olivia, Liz, Serena, and Kate. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Let's fucking give these people some advice. But first, I just want to say, you know how I said I had tall energy?
Yeah, people do think you are tall.
Everyone thinks I'm tall.
Yeah, she's a short bitch.
I just went through this looking for, okay, don't start this that I'm short.
You're short.
Don't
short
start
and old.
This.
Old and short.
Like, seriously.
Too old to get on the roller coaster. Too short to get on the roller coaster.
I am 5'6" and a half.
5'1". Bree's 5'1 and 43.
This is now a new thing for Sean to just literally bully me about.
You're super short.
I am not short.
You're definitely my shortest friend.
I'm 5'7 on a good day, 5'6 on a bad day.
5'7 on a good day, 5'1 on every other day.
I literally hate you. I literally hate you. You're not going to do this to me. You're not going to start this about my
5'1 every day, 5'7 when you're wearing 6-inch heels.
Oh my God, no. Don't get me started. I finally get to live out my tall bitch truth when I wear my platform shoes because then I'm like 5'9.
Lady Gaga's 5'1. Kim Kardashian's
5'1. I'm not 5'1 though.
These are other people that are 5'1 with you. There's strength in numbers. You guys can run around as a little shoddy squad.
Okay, so Evelyn said, I thought Brienne was at least 5'9". At least.
Right.
Court said, you definitely give off 5'10 energy. Right?
I think the energy is there. The actual physical height is 5'1", though.
Oh, my God. I literally fucking
And Kim Kardashian turned 40 and is 5'1", so you guys have, like, very similar stats.
Are we twins?
You do kind of look like a Kardashian.
I do have the coloring.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kim Kardashian is,
also
shockingly short. I literally didn't know she was 5'1".
Yeah.
I mean, I knew she was short, but I didn't think she was that short.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Same height.
I literally fucking can't stand you. Well, for all of you out there, I am not 5'1". I am not 43.
Gaslight, gatekeep, girl boss. That's what I'm doing on this podcast.
I am literally 5'6" and a half, and I'm giving myself the half because I do identify as someone who's 5'7".
Okay.
Okay, but I'm 5'6" and a half, but so I just round up a little bit. And I am 29.
Right.
For the 100th fucking time.
Listen, one of us is a liar. 5'1 and 43, you choose. I'm now going to make it my goal in every photo we're in together, I'm going to Photoshop you smaller. Or like put like that you have platform shoes on.
I hate you so much. I literally hate you. I'm suing you.
Yeah.
You will be hearing from my lawyer.
You're a 5'1 lawyer. Kim Kardashian.
No.
She's like, I would love to represent another 5'1 girl.
Another 5'1 40 something girl. Okay. Anyways, now that we've moved on past the absolute.
We haven't moved on. We'll circle back. Don't worry.
Bullying that Sean puts me through on this podcast. You guys sent in some advice.
Yeah.
Questions. I will say some of you are better than others at this because holy fuck, there's some of these questions. I would have to sit here for the next 30 minutes just reading the novel that is this question.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Jesus Christ. But I mean, they do know we're long-winded, so they probably think like at least this will fill time.
Yeah.
They're like, we're sick of hearing you talk about your shit, so at least tell my interesting story. But yeah, if you're ever looking for getting your advice answered, it's better to be longer to give us some details, but not too long. Because then I just can't. I just can't. I can't read it all. You can't even read.
I can't read. This is on me. Read it out for me.
This is on me. And I get the anxiety of like when you're in school and the book's getting passed around and it's coming to you.
Yeah.
And you have to read ahead to prepare.
But like that.
What word was that?
No, like the, it's the Little Mix meme.
Oh, I've never seen that.
Yeah, you have.
Oh my God, I have. That is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Literally, I cry watching that.
Yeah.
It's like she has a stroke.
Oh my God.
It is.
Yeah.
She's like, the stress of that moment is like, wild.
That is so relatable, though.
Yeah, it is.
When the pressure's on.
The pressure's cooking and you just gotta spit it out. Okay. So now that I've been like a Karen about the way that people ask these questions.
Jesus, I didn't know you were going to call me offensive.
Yeah, I'm having a, you know, I'm at the end of my rope, so really anything could make me a little moody right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a couple of weeks here. I'm just taking it out on the listeners here, and I got to apologize for that.
Yes,
I gotta apologize.
You should.
I apologize.
Bad Brie.
You know what? This is my formal apology to anyone who took the time to write
ask,
out their
can
advice.
Can you read?
No, Sean. We've been over this. It's just a blur on my phone screen right now. Okay. Some of these are more like Q&A, right? We're looking for...
Can you stop ragging on people?
Virtual ways to celebrate Pride. I have advice on this.
Okay.
If you live in Vancouver or don't, you could just... join this anywhere. They just released, if you go to at Vancouver Pride on Instagram, they just released the schedule for this year. And last year was all virtual, but this year it's very cool because they are doing like 50-50. So there's like 50% like in-person events to like the capacities that they're allowed.
Yep.
In BC. And then there's 50% that are virtual that are either 100% virtual or you can virtually tune in to the in-person events and there's like shows going on, stuff like that. So if you're looking to virtually celebrate Pride, wherever you're from, you don't have to be from Vancouver. They have some really actually like cool and thoughtful
That's so
events
fun. Even
up.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah. And they've got a whole schedule on their website. And what I really like about it, it's not just like a one and done, like, oh, we're having like a virtual Pride party.
Yeah.
They have like a ace picnic in the park that can also be joined virtually. They have...
I don't think I want to virtually join a picnic, though, because, like, I would like to eat.
Okay, fair. But they have, like, a trans and non-binary virtual event panel. They have so many different things, and I think that everyone is getting better at this. In Vancouver Pride, I think, specifically this year, it's really cool to see that, like... Yes, it's cool to have the big umbrella events that, like, hit all the LGBTQ plus stuff. But it's also, like, important to have spaces for different experiences. And they have those both in person and virtually this year. And a lot of them look really fun.
That's awesome. Because there's a lot of people that can't interact with public events anyways.
Exactly.
So
I think that would be my suggestion is go check out Vancouver Pride on Instagram and click the link in their bio because they've got, like, a lot of really cool things going on.
And my... suggestion mm-hmm. is lock yourself in your room uh-huh. yeah. with maybe a pizza and a bottle of wine mm-hmm. and just put Lindsay Lohan Rumors on repeat. That's how I choose to celebrate Pride virtually.
Oh, I like that.
Thank That's you.
It. What's the virtual aspect? The like
the computer. the laptop break.
Oh, got it. Okay. Yeah. are you Twitch streaming this experience?
I put on a VR headset. I put a beach situation and I just cry.
I love that.
Yeah, That's thank good. You.
Great advice. Yeah. Okay. Ways to present as part of the LGBTQ plus community without enforcing stereotypes. I think you just have to not worry about enforcing stereotypes if it's you.
Or don't worry about presenting.
Yeah, exactly. Just be so yourself. Loud. Oh, sorry. I literally can't hear.
And you're like...
Sean's the headphone person, and yeah. so he's like, about the noise.
Bree's always
like,
slapping the ottoman, putting her phone yeah. down, farting.
Oh, my God. I don't know why this came to my mind, but when I was looking through the DMs, someone said... Who needs lube when you have clammy hands? About my clammy hand story.
Oh, I love that.
Do you? That is so disgusting to me. Like, I've never felt less attractive all than purpose. Thinking about my, like, clammy hands being also, like, multi-purpose for lube.
I think that's beautiful.
They're just constantly a slip and slide.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Let's frame that instead. As a positive.
Okay, love that for me and my clammy hands. They're very clammy right now, actually, so if anyone's ready, I'm lubed up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think that it's the same thing as we were talking about last episode of looking at labels first and then trying to match those labels. I think instead of focusing on what those stereotypes are and trying not to match them,
yeah.
just ask yourself, like, genuinely, like, how would I just like to dress? Like, just going in a store and just being like, what feels good on my body? What makes me feel like me?
Yeah.
And if those happen to fall into certain stereotypes, like if you're fucking picking up a flannel and you're a lesbian, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
But if you're doing it from a place of either avoiding stereotypes or enforcing them in both ways, you aren't living your truth or expressing yourself genuinely.
Yeah. And then I also think it's like, you have to ask yourself, like, who are you presenting as queer for,
yeah.
and you know, this is the most exhausting statement that I'm about to say, but just present as you.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
I know. I'm so sorry that I just subjected everybody to that sentence, but honestly, like, just wear and present in the way that you feel most comfortable and the most authentically you, and then everybody can fucking catch up to the rest.
Yeah. I love that. I fucking love that. Someone said, Brie, I'm going to save this because I'm going to have to do a deep dive but
okay.
for a Q&A, but someone said, Brie, what's your favorite Eminem song? I knew you'd like that.
Oh, God. I have to go.
Sean's quitting the podcast.
We do not talk about him on here.
That's like Sean's boundary.
That is
for this
my
podcast.
Fucking boundary.
Ah, so funny. Okay. How do I tell my cis straight friends that they're saying something homophobic, transphobic without coming off sensitive or over emotional?
That's a tricky one. Mm-hmm. I personally don't really think that there's a huge issue in coming off sensitive or emotional
yeah.
because I think that might help convey that mm-hmm. it is a sensitive and emotional topic. Maybe what they're saying doesn't exactly pertain to your mm-hmm. sexuality or your identity.
Yeah.
But I do think that it is a sensitive and emotional mm-hmm. topic.
Yeah.
So I don't think conveying that is necessarily bad.
Right.
Because to specific people, it would be emotional for mm-hmm. them to hear those
yeah,
things.
Totally.
So I think that does help convey impact
yeah,
in a way. But also, if they're your friends and you don't want to seem emotional, I would be like, listen, you fucker, stop saying that shit. It's not cool. It's not cute.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their example was, because I just saw their other part of their question here. For example, because they're saying that they're supportive people in general, but an example, they would say, I can't wear or / do this because people will think I'm a lesbian.
Right.
And it's like, I get that because it's that weird in between of like, they're not saying something like necessarily like outwardly like homophobic, but yeah. it's also like implying that it would be like
bad
if they were perceived as a lesbian, or also like enforcing stereotypes outside of the community of saying like that this is how lesbians look.
Yeah.
And I think that a big thing for me is just like tone. Like, you should be able to get angry if you want to get angry.
Oh yeah.
But
I get angry at my friends all the time.
One of my favorite things to do. But I think for me, just to make it easier on myself when I'm in those situations, I just kind of like, instead of, I just say what that could be perceived as.
Yeah.
And like, in a simple way, like if someone, for example, said that, oh, I'm gonna look like a lesbian, just be like, what would be wrong with being perceived as a lesbian?
Yeah.
And then leave it up to them. If they say, oh, well,
I feel
nothing,
like if you say that, then it's like, they know.
They know. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then if they're like, oh, well, nothing, blah, 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 I'd be like, oh, okay, well, it came off like there would be something bad about that.
Yeah.
And then that's it. They know.
Yeah.
That's, you know, just turn it back on
them. Or say like, hey, that statement that you made isn't personally offensive to me, but I think that moving forward you should think about how you say those things, because it could impact somebody poorly.
Maybe you should shut the fuck up.
And here's the thing, shut your bitch mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, how to not get the ick when dating someone.
Oh my god, I was just talking to my boyfriend about this. Okay. How I got the ick for him. I was saying that like in almost every relationship, except for my current relationship, I have gotten the ick for somebody. Yeah. And once I get the ick, once I get like the thought that we're gonna break up, there is just like a timeline countdown. Once I've got the ick, you can't get rid of it.
Yeah.
So it's how to not get it, I genuinely don't know, and would like, if you find out, to give me this advice in return. Because I don't know. It's something that I have constantly done. I also don't think it's the worst thing in the world. If you have the ick, there are very valid reasons that you're icked out.
Yeah. I agree. My advice, though, if I can think of anything, would be to continue dating your partner, no matter how long you've been together. Because I think especially, and it's a stereotype with like lesbian relationships, women loving women relationships, that you kind of fall into like the best friendship roles. And you become kind of just like a codependent entity, opposed to like two individuals who are like actively dating each other.
Yeah.
It's just like you just do everything together. It's not really like planned. It's just like, well, yeah, of course we're hanging out every day this week. And there's no real like separation of individualism and togetherness.
Yeah.
And I think like if you do that, I can see why you get the ick, because like you're just 24/7 just around the person and not really like flirting or seeing the benefits to things that they bring to the table, like in a dating way where you're like really listening to what they're saying or like laughing at their jokes. They're just kind of there.
Yeah.
So my suggestion with that would be like, I mean, I've been with my girlfriend over 6 years and we still...
You've been ick for six of that.
And six of them I've had the ick. So it's been like a lot to work against. Yeah, she definitely has the ick.
For sure. Hard not to.
But no, we just like make like such a point of like making dates.
Yeah.
And also, I think I'm more the pusher of this because I really like to be independent, but having totally separate time and like not having to fill each other in on every little thing we're doing.
Yeah.
Like, I would never be the person that's like giving my girlfriend, unless
it
was
play-by-play,
like a play-by-play of every little thing I'm doing, every interaction I'm having, like every goal I'm working towards. Like, those are things that when we go on a date, I get to share because it's exciting for me to share. I'm like, oh, this week I did this, or I talked to this person, or I guested on this podcast, or I did whatever it is. Whereas if I was just like constantly just like feeling like I had to say everything as we're going, there's nothing new to fucking talk about.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're fucking sitting at a restaurant and you're like, ew.
Ick.
Like, tell me something interesting you did this week. Leave a little bit of space for individualism. So
for
in
intrigue,
those moments,
for mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The little bit of mystery is good.
I think a big one for me is also that I had to specifically look at each individual instance of ick, each instance.
Okay.
I would literally, if I felt myself like feeling that, it's that push. You feel like, oh, I don't feel connected to you, or like you're annoying me, or grossing me out, or like something you're doing is just like getting to me.
Yeah.
Because I have weird thoughts like that all the time. I honestly would have to think first of all, am I in a bad mood?
Yeah.
Is this something they're doing that is different than usual? Yes. Or is it just me feeling different about something they're always doing?
Right.
Is it something that I am projecting onto them right now because I feel a certain type of way? And then I would be like, oh, is this something stupid that if I talked about it, we could move forward or like, you know, we could communicate around this issue? Or is it an issue with like their core values?
Right.
And it's funny because I've had a ton of icks that are like, oh, I'm just overreacting and being stupid. And then I've had icks that I'm like, oh, I think this might be a core values kind of thing. And then that's the reason that we break up in the end.
Right. So it's like your intuition. Like,
yeah,
telling
it came full circle. But some things are very stupid. But if it comes down to one of the big ones, maybe it's not great.
My ick with Julia is she will pat me on the head when she walks by me while I'm trying to work.
I hate that.
And I'm literally like, she'll literally walk by and it'll be like, boop, boop, on the top of my head. And I literally, it's like she just broke my neck.
Yeah.
I have like a fucking reaction to it. I'm like, stop it. Like, like I hate it. And she just does it like it's like a habit. Like she just, because where I sit when I'm working, she walks from the bedroom to the kitchen. And as she walks by, it's her way of just being like, well, hello. Boop, boop. And I'm like, I'm in my focus zone and I fucking hate it. And like, I literally had to tell her. Yeah, I literally had to be like, it makes me like for the next hour, it's the silliest, stupidest thing. Speaking of you saying silly ex, I literally am like grossed out by you for the next hour. I can't explain it. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it like literally makes me like so annoyed with you.
Yeah. I'm it's like, probably easy for her to tap you on the head too because you're 5'1". She's taller than you. So.
I'm just standing in my, at my standing
desk. Standing desk.
She just comes by and taps
me. Little 5'1"? Little 5'1" cutie?
Ah, fuck.
And at your age, you definitely should be using a standing desk, so.
I just got a standing desk.
I know.
Stretch my old back out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those 40 plus bodies, you know, I gotta keep the blood moving.
This is so much. I literally can't. I'm gonna have to hire a separate therapist just to specifically talk about this.
I'm shocked you don't have one already.
I need one. I'm bringing in Dr. Drew.
Yeah. Hey, Gabers. Today's episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert in language learning for 30 years for a reason. They are so good at helping you learn a language naturally in a way that allows for long-term retention, and it actually works. Trust me, this is coming from someone who attempted to learn a language in high school through the whole textbook old school method. Did not work. Rosetta Stone is different than that, okay? They really focus on allowing you to really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. I also love a feature that they have built in that's called True Accent. It's a speech recognition feature, and it's like having a personal trainer for your accent. It's super convenient. You can do the lessons on your desktop or in app, and it's an amazing value. The lifetime membership has all 25 languages, so you don't have to stop at one. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, I Can Explain podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Okay, I'm still friends with my ex, typical lesbian behavior, and they want to meet my current girlfriend. Is that okay? Should I be wary?
Oh, I have a lot of advice on this one.
Okay. Can you hear my stomach right now?
I can't. I literally can.
I haven't eaten in so long that I'm literally like, it's like bad. I've been so busy. So
Jesus
just to tell
Christ.
People, yeah, just to tell people, it's because I'm busy. Is it
and
unhealthy
she
pattern?
She means so long today, also not
yeah,
like a
today,
week.
Today, today, yeah. I usually am very good at having like a few meals a day.
Yeah.
And so when I don't, my body like reacts because I'm like so usually good at that. Like I'm very food driven, but when I get really
like
busy and stressed, then I stop. Yeah, like a dog. Yeah, exactly. So anyways, my body is like, what the hell? It's almost 2 p.m. and you haven't had three meals. What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. I have advice for that. I think you need to look at this relationship and friendship that you are keeping with your ex and be realistic. Mm-hmm. Is this actually a friendship that you're keeping? Because if you're in a place that you're comfortable having a friendship with your ex, then you should be comfortable, there's not one way to have a friendship, but it's like, if you're saying that you're comfortable enough to have this mm-hmm. person in your life as a friend, then you should be comfortable enough with them meeting your new partner, because then yeah. you're going to have to keep this person at some sort of distance friendship, mm-hmm. which is fine. That is, you know, friendships obviously have yeah. different layers,
yeah.
but it's like, are you really comfortable with having this person as a friend yeah. if you are going to be keeping your partner and partners moving forward away from
right.
them? That's my thought.
See, that's my thought too, because I'm like, why are you asking?
Yeah, because I am friends with my exes mm-hmm. and I've had my new partner meet them before. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think it'd be weirder if they didn't meet them, because then I'd mm-hmm. be like, oh, I'm friends with my ex, but I don't want you guys to meet.
Yeah.
Which I think
and
is
like,
weirder.
The word wary, like, should I be wary? Like, why are you wary? Do you feel like your ex is potentially inappropriate in the way that they communicate with you, and that might be seen by your current partner?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that there's like some sort of loaded reason that your ex wants to meet your partner, like to suss them out or something? Like, if your gut's telling you there's a reason to be wary, then I feel like you got to take a step back. It's less about whether or not you should introduce a partner, but like, is this a friendship?
Yeah.
Or why do I feel like, even if it's a friendship on my side, why do I feel like there's any reason to be wary about my ex? Like,
yeah.
do I think that they maybe still have feelings or whatever it may be? So yeah, I think it's a little bit more about that. Again, typical lesbian question, as they said, typical lesbian behavior.
Yeah. And at some point you just have to kind of like trust your
yeah.
this now friend ex of yours
yes.
and your current partner to like move forward with the knowledge of you saying, you know, this
yeah.
is only a friendship, this is my new partner. Like, you kind of just have to trust this situation. If you can't, maybe there's more to it.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Mia giving harsh advice.
Sorry. You know what? It's well you asked.
Sorry about it. Well, you asked, bitch.
You asked. We're giving you the advice.
Yeah.
Okay, this person said, I absolutely love this podcast. I look forward to listening to it in my Tuesday mornings, and it has helped me and made me laugh during a couple of coming out years. That's really nice.
Aww.
Thanks for saying that. They said, my question and advice is, how can you make queer friends or meet cool friend groups without it being taken as flirting? I have a girlfriend and we're long distance, but I just really need queer friends in the city I just moved to. Oh, she, her pronouns. Okay, so she, thanks for including your pronouns, by the way. That's very helpful. She.
Sorry, I wasn't laughing at your pronouns. I was laughing at
me putting my phone down and slamming it onto the table.
Me just tossing it back to her.
Sean just literally like removing.
Yeah.
I literally am like a child. I keep putting my phone onto where we're recording. Sean just keeps throwing it back at me because it's making noise. Yeah, so she is in a situation. This is a good question because
yeah.
I feel like it's in general hard to make friends. But we've talked about before how in a more heteronormative space, it's kind of assumed that if you were meeting, like, if you were a girl
yeah.
and you were meeting another girl, you were going to be friends until communicated otherwise. Like, there's an assumption of friendship when there's two people of the same gender meeting.
Yeah.
Right? Same with, like, two bros meeting at a fucking bar or whatever.
They're
going to
fuck, but they'll yeah. probably be friends
but
after.
They're, yeah, friends. Yeah. So I get it, because it's like we've talked about before how it's a unique experience where when you take the gender norms out of friendship or dating, which is what a queer experience is,
yep.
then the unfortunate part of that is, while the world's your oyster, you also are like, okay, well, how do I also very clearly identify that I just want to be friends with this person?
Yep.
Because that's something that a lot of heterosexual people do not have to do. The only time really heterosexual people experience that in heteronormative circles is, for example, if a guy is like best friends with a girl and then he has to like explain to his partner that there's like nothing there. It's just like my best friend. And they often find that weird, right?
Yeah.
Well, why are you best friends with the opposite gender? I experienced that a lot growing up with my guy friends being really close with me and their girlfriends feeling some type of way about that and feeling like there's some layer to it that they must be into me or
yeah.
whatever. And they would always use, which I roll because it doesn't have to be that I was gay, they'd be like, oh no, she's a lesbian. As
well,
if I wasn't.
Well, going back to last episode, she's a lesbian. Not yet.
Not yet. But as if like somehow that, like if I wasn't a lesbian, it would be weird that we were friends.
Yeah.
But I get that that was just an easy way for them to explain it to their partner. But yeah, it's interesting. So in this case, she has a long-distance girlfriend, but she's looking for friends in her own city, and she doesn't know how to, like, make it clear that she's only looking for friends.
Yeah.
Because it's hard. Jeez.
It is hard. I think just being, like, super forthcoming with what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. And honestly, like, I know this is kind of exhausting, but, like, driving the point home at the beginning.
Yeah.
Even, like, saying things like, oh, like, you know, it's just been so nice to, like, meet queer friends in this city. Like, you know, really just drive it home. Because, yeah, I think people can try to take what they want from situations. Yeah. So, like, they could think that you're sending them mixed messages. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
Even sliding into the DMs and saying something like, hey, like, I, like, you know, have been seeing your posts, and I, whether it's I just moved to this city or I live in this city, but unfortunately my girlfriend and my friends live in this other city.
Yes.
So I'm looking to meet other queer folks here. And you know what I mean? Like, establishing my girlfriend and my friends live somewhere else. I'm looking for friends here. You look cool. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
I think that that, as Sean said, is the way, like, to almost, like, overcompensate with, like, dropping that at the beginning. Because I would assume if someone just slid into my DMs and was like, hey, what's up? And they were on their profile, like, identifying as queer, I would assume they were hitting on me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you didn't establish that. Maybe that's something wrong with me. Maybe that's my fucking ego.
That's for sure you, yeah.
But yeah, no, I think just being like, and I mean, there's apps like Bumble BFF that are just like, it's just about meeting like friends or like networking for work that you could use. And I think also, I talked about it before and we actually got some DMs of people being like, okay, well, not everyone is as nuts as you and would do this. But I genuinely think that there is nothing wrong with going to a queer space alone.
Yeah.
And just seeing who you meet.
Totally.
Speaking to the Vancouver Pride activities, there's a lot of events that are really cool that are like smaller, which I think has been missing for a lot of years. And something about COVID happening and forcing them to do these more intimate events is actually going to make a lot of spaces that are more accessible for people to enjoy, maybe if they're not like a big club party person.
Yeah.
And also actually engage and meet friends. Like, there's a local event company here called Queers and Beers where they have, you know, 50 people, different brewery trucks come, they do tastings, it's really chill, you know, there is a DJ going on, but it's during the day, and you could mingle with people.
Yep.
So I think looking for those kind of smaller, more niche events in your area where you're not like shouting over music to try and make a friend. Because I'm telling you right now, if I'm just being honest, you're not going to make a new friend group at going to the Junction.
Right.
You're not going to go to a club and make like a deep friend connection.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not, if I'm just being honest. Yeah. Even, you know, there's events like Babes on Babes when they were happening that's like at Fortune Sound Club. It's packed. You know, you can hardly move in there. It might be your friend for the night where you're like, you know, having a laugh and going around with them. But that transcending into like being long-term friends, I would say would be very unlikely.
Yeah, probably.
Just because you can't really connect in a deeper level. You can't even fucking hear anything.
Literally.
So finding those more like little niche pocket events, and that, I swear to God, I was not intending to make this a plug, but on my TikTok, I did just do two TikToks about spaces for queer folks in Vancouver that are not just clubs. So if you want to go find me at Brant Williams on TikTok, I posted
this is
that.
Not a plug, but here's my plug.
Yeah, it is a plug, but I just like, I don't want to sit here and just list all them. I listed them on TikTok.
Yes.
So if you're looking for that kind of stuff,
yeah,
do that. Okay, and also follow me on TikTok.
Jesus Christ, there it is.
Okay, this is an interesting question. I like this one. My mom is totally supportive and already knows that I'm a lesbian, but I haven't outwardly come out to her, and it's kind of awkward.
Right.
So as we were joking about in last episode of the person saying, oh, I have a gay friend. Well, not yet.
Yeah.
But it is a weird in between.
I have a gay daughter, but not yet.
Yeah. It is a weird in between when you almost know that someone knows, but you haven't said it yet. And then you're like, well, like, do I say it now? Now it's like this weird floating thing that I'm pretty sure, you know, it's pretty obvious, but I don't know. It's a unique part of the coming out experience. Yeah. Right. So this person says, whenever she comes across something queer of mine, like a podcast that I listen to, for example, she says, it's okay, honey, you don't have to hide anything, which makes me even more awkward.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I feel like the only way that I'll have the courage to come out to her is randomly yell, I'm gay, but I don't know if that's a good idea. Please help. This is a unique one.
Yeah.
It's, and I relate to it in the same way that I was speaking about having people that said I was a lesbian before I was out, and I would like actively ignore or deny because I was like, this is making me feel really uncomfortable because I'm not ready to say it. But then it was even more awkward when I was coming out because then you almost feel like it's like that annoying, like, okay, yeah, you were right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just feel like the best thing to do in this case would be next time she says something like that, like, decide for yourself now what you're going to say next time.
Yeah.
Right? Because in the moment, it can feel very, like, flustered and, like, overwhelming. So decide in the moment now what you're going to say. And that might look something like, hey, Mom, I know you are trying to be supportive, but, like, either I'm still figuring myself out or, you know, I haven't actually like had that conversation with you. So it makes it feel like this is like building it up a lot.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'm gay, but I just would rather not, it not be a big deal or something that's mentioned all the time. Whatever it may be that you want to convey, or maybe that's just your moment to say, yeah, I'm gay.
Yeah.
Right. But decide it now so that the next time it happens, you feel prepared.
Yeah.
Because
you probably know it's coming up at, again mm-hmm. sometime. So, yeah, if you...
And also mentally prepare that she's probably going to say, yeah, I know. Because yeah. that can feel annoying, too. Because yeah. I've been there. And a lot of people don't understand why that might feel annoying. But it is, like, a big, brave moment to say who you are. And when people are like, yeah, I know, it's like you just diminished, like, the fact that this is, like, a huge deal for
you
me.
You just took away my moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about the moment.
Absolutely. We love the drama of it as well.
So, yeah. So prepare your mental state for that. And if she says, like, I know, just be like, yeah, I know that you knew, but it's a big step for me to say it out loud.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because that is a big step. I empathize with that. It's such a weird thing also being a parent from the parent side of things because, like, you want to be supportive and, like, make them feel like, don't worry, when you do come out, I won't be shitty.
Yeah.
But it, like, sometimes it overcompensates, right?
I also feel like the support kind of seems like pressure almost as well at some point.
Oh, 100%.
There's a fine line.
Vine line. You sound like Alanis Morissette when you say
absolutely.
Like that. Love it. Okay, so this is kind of convoluted. I literally don't know what that word means.
No,
kind
I
of
know convoluted. You don't.
What does that mean? Convoluted.
Like confusing.
Okay.
Hard to understand.
Okay.
A little messy.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. But basically, I had feelings for my best friend. She got a boyfriend. Years pass. They broke up. Me and the ex-boyfriend become better friends and I distance from the best friend. I recently came clean to her and we're good, but I don't know if I should tell the ex-boyfriend, who is now my good friend, that I had feelings for his ex-girlfriend the whole time. He's like the only one who doesn't know in the friend group. That was actually very well spoken for a confusing situation.
Yeah, I feel like that wasn't that convoluted.
Not convoluted. Yeah, I would say
Bree doesn't know what that means.
Non-convoluted.
If she did, she would probably say it wasn't.
I would tell him.
I would personally also tell him.
Especially the thing that's the kicker for me, if it wasn't like, it's the friend group acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Because if this was a situation of like, okay, he used to date some girl who you used to also be friends with, but now that person's distance and kind of out of both your lives and you've gone on and met other people and like whatever that's like in the past, do you really need to bring it up? No, I don't think you need to at all. But if it's a matter of like your whole friend group feels like there's this weird like underlying thing that you were like into or in love with or whatever it may be,
yeah,
his girlfriend, and that he doesn't know that, so no one's mentioned that to him, then it becomes this like weird thing that I think, unfortunately, if someone eventually let it slip, it would feel like there's a mistrust there.
Yeah, and I also think that if you have gotten closer to him, like mm-hmm. it's nice to not feel like you're, you know, harboring these things,
yeah.
keeping these things from him. Like, it's nice to just have like, a clear conscience. Not mm-hmm. like you did anything wrong either, but like, it's nice to have a clear conscience with a friend always, I yeah. find. And I don't know. It's just something like,
yeah, I think just make sure that you don't, like, it might feel heavy to you, but don't bring it up in a heavy way. I honestly feel like you could just be like, okay, this is so wild.
You're gonna laugh.
Yeah.
You're gonna laugh.
You're gonna think this is fucking hysterical.
Yeah, funny. Not sad, funny.
Funny. But I would just be like, as you know, I'm queer and, or however you identify, And like, obviously a big part of that was like figuring myself out for a certain amount of time. And one of those people that I kind of like first had attraction to, a crush on, was your ex. So yeah. Like, look, seems like we got the same type, but
yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, make it like a thing like that. Like, it's not like, I need to let you know that I'm in love with your ex and I hope you don't feel like I was lying to you. Just be like, oh, I was like totally into her too, because I was like figuring myself out and that was like a person I connected to.
Totally.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that anyone, especially if this is a good friend of yours, is going to understand that. Like, you know, especially it's their ex now. Like, they might be like, oh, yeah, like... She's super dope and super hot. Or they might be like, oh my God, really? Like, I literally can't fucking stand my ex. Like, that's crazy that you liked her too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's just, it's not like, it would be different if they were still dating, then that might create awkwardness. Yeah. I think my advice would be different.
And but you it didn't, sounds like fuck her or anything.
Yeah. I feel it sounds like you've all moved on. And like, even I have things just to relate. Like, one of my guy friends growing up, me and him hooked up with the same girl. And he didn't know for a long time that I hooked up with that girl too before he did. So when he started telling me that he was hooking up with this girl, I never mentioned it because I didn't want to fucking like out myself and that person.
Yeah.
And then like years later, that girl that I had hooked up with was openly bisexual. And so I just said to him, oh my God, okay, like you're going to think this God, is
story fucking for you.
Crazy. Yeah. But I actually, you know, that girl you dated for a few months, I had hooked up with her before, but I didn't tell you because A, I didn't want to tell people that I was hooking up with girls. And also she wasn't out. So I didn't want to like ruin like her trust with me, whatever. Yeah. And he just laughed about it. Like, you know what I mean? Like anyone with any sort of like empathy or understanding. And if they're your friend, like he's not queer and he totally got that it was a different layer for me being queer.
Yeah. And I also think that no matter what, when you feel like you're like holding something back mm-hmm. from a friend, it feels, even if it's super light, it feels way bigger. Heavier than it is.
Yeah.
So
which just means you're a good friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you care what yeah. they, that you don't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, tell him.
Yeah, tell him. and tell us how it goes.
Tell us how it goes. Yes, slide in the DMs. Give us some results. Okay, to all of you that asked questions, thank you so much. Sorry if we did not get to them. Bonus episodes will be coming on Patreon with more answers to your advice questions for the ones we didn't get to. If you want to become a patron, link is in our bio on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast. You can also follow us personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson on Instagram and on TikTok.
And we'll see you around the gayborhood.
And we'll see you around the gayborhood.
These plugs are insane.